This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Marco Rubio, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in the state of Florida. He's getting a lot of attention right now as the conservative challenger to a Republican frontrunner in that state and Governor Charlie Crist. We want to understand why Mr. Rubio is in the race and what he would do if elected to Washington. And Mr. Rubio, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Why did you decide to get into this race? Mel Martinez, of course, announced he would not seek a second term. Why did you decide you would be the best Republican standard bearer for Florida?
Well, I believe my children are the first are potentially members of the first generation of Americans who will inherit a country worse off than the ones their parents were given. It's never happened before in our history. And I think that's due largely to the decisions being made in Washington, D.C. The last straw was the stimulus package. And what it means is it epitomizes everything that they're doing wrong in Washington. And so that's why I want to run. There's no other candidates in this race that are talking about that. I'm the only candidate in this race that would have opposed the stimulus package. Even my conservative opponent, the governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, not only accepted the dollars, he actually campaigned on behalf of the plan and embraced it, said he would have voted for it. So, you know, obviously we all have a right to our differences, but I just think that the stimulus spending was the icing on the cake on what's been years and years of horrible practices, horrible fiscal practices, Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C.
You are a former speaker of the Florida State House of Representatives. What in that experience or other experience gives you the standing to tell the voters of Florida that you will, in fact, be that voice and that you've got experience to get the job done here in Washington?
Well, the main experience I had in Florida was that our only obligation every year was to produce a state budget, a $74 billion state budget, one of the largest in the country. We have a balanced budget amendment in Florida. That means we can't spend money we don't have. And after eight and a half years in the legislature, two of them a speaker, I can tell you that it's possible for governments to survive when they're forced to only spend the money that they have. And they survive even without raising taxes, as we never did in Florida while I was speaker. And so the I think those same lessons would apply at the federal level. If we could just keep government from spending money it doesn't have, if we could just hold the size of government constant for a few years and allow our economy to grow, we'll all be much better off. That you'll once again have a country where entrepreneurship is encouraged and rewarded.
Is it difficult for Republicans, given what they did a few years ago in Congress, to regain the mantle of fiscal discipline?
Well, it's difficult for the Republicans that have been there when these things were happening to regain that mantle. Certainly, if you were a Republican and you were in power from 94 to 2006, talking about you were conservative and you were going to limit the size of government, and then you let it grow so rapidly, just as guilty of it as Democrats have been, I don't know how you can continue to say that with a straight face. And I think what plagues the Republican Party is the same thing that plagues American politics, and that is too many are willing to say whatever it takes and do whatever it takes to get elected. And then once they get there, of course, they become something completely different.
What are you hearing from constituents around the state, whether it's on the fiscal front or other key issues? What do they want in their next senator?
They want someone who's going to go to Washington, D.C. and be who they say they are, who's basically not just going to talk this way on the campaign trail, but then actually get to Washington and do those things, as opposed to becoming a member of a club and just going along to fit in. They're tired of that. They're tired of manipulators of public opinion that will say or do anything to get elected. We'll basically take whatever side of the issues they need to win the next election, and then they get to Washington, D.C., and then you don't hear from them again for another 6 years. And when you do, they're part of the problem, not part of the solution.
One area that comes up in Washington that doesn't really at the state government level, and that's foreign policy. What do you see as America's international role, especially with all that's unfolding in the Middle East right now?
I think the world is a safer place when America is the strongest military power on earth. I think the world is a safer place when America has a strong voice on behalf of freedom. And what's going on in the Middle East, particularly in Iran over the last few days, illustrates for us, unfortunately, points out that for the first time in my lifetime, America is not an outspoken defender of the rights of all men. It's not an outspoken defender on the side of those that are seeking freedom and liberty. We're almost afraid to say something from the executive level because it might incite, you know, some counter-reaction to us somewhere in the world. Luckily, the American people aren't going along with that. The American people have not been silent, and they've used all kinds of new media outlets to speak out on behalf of freedom and liberty for those folks in Iran that are being oppressed by a rogue regime.
We're talking with Marco Rubio, Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate in Florida. And Marco, you mentioned the difference you had very strongly with the Governor Crist on the issue of the stimulus. What are some other areas of distinction between you and the governor?
When he was governor of Florida, he embraced the California style of energy reform, basically cap and trade, big government mandates. I'm opposed to that. I think the American innovator is going to solve our energy problems. And I think while we're innovating, I think we need to use all of the resources at our disposal here in America to make sure that we're becoming energy independent nation.
What is your prescription for that? I know that even Governor Bush down there was very leery about certain elements of offshore exploration. What would you pursue?
Well, I would say that I'll leave that open as an option. We certainly shouldn't rule it out. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not our first choice, and it certainly isn't. You know, I long for the day where America doesn't use any petroleum products at all, or if it does, it uses them in a very limited fashion. And I believe the American innovator, properly incentivized, will build a new generation of energy, including ways to power our cars, that don't rely so much on foreign sources of oil. But in the interim, America has to be prepared as a matter of national security to fully be able to utilize the resources that our land provides us. We shouldn't just close that off under this notion that the rest of the world will follow our example if we do, because they're not going to.
Mr. Rubio, some see this primary and others as a fight for the soul of the Republican Party, whether it will go conservative or moderate. Do you see it that way as well?
I think there's a battle in the party between those that want to stand on principle and those that basically want to stew or say whatever they need to in order to get elected. And I think that's what the battle really is about. I think many of these folks who go around saying they want to moderate or move to the center, really what they're doing is reacting to polling data. It's not what they believe. It's certainly not what they've run on in the past. It's just what they think they need to be for, because they've seen some polling data somewhere that tells them they should change what they stand for. Politics cannot be about popularity. It must be about leadership, and so must the Republican Party. If it hopes to ever be the majority party again, it must be a genuine voice for its principles that articulates them to the American people, not a collection of manipulators of public opinion.
Well, Mr. Rubio, this is certainly going to be one of the most important primaries to watch early next year. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you. I encourage everyone to go on my website, MarcoRubio.com.
MarcoRubio.com is the website for Republican U.S. Senate candidate Marco Rubio in the state of Florida. This is Dateline Washington.